You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, the Scholar Report, with CEO Chris Riegel of Scholar.com, a global technology firm, business on all the settled continents, transforming the retail space with digital signage. We begin in China, as we must, because the Chinese economy is obtuse, non-transparent at best, and often contains the things that can hurt you. For example, there's a Financial Times headline right now. Alibaba accused of, quote, possible espionage at European hub. Belgian security service says Chinese group's logistics arm in Liège under scrutiny over use of sensitive data. Just one piece of the Chinese economy controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. And then we had a metric in these last days saying that the manufacturing number in China has moved from 49 point something to 50 point something. That ordinarily would be understood if it came from, say, the United States or Europe, as manufacturing recovering some of its decline. But, Chris, a very good evening to you. That manufacturing number moving from this to that, not, I won't ask simply, do you trust it? Do you see any evidence of the manufacturers who have been in severe restraints these last months? Is there any brightness south of Shanghai or in the Pearl River?
Good evening, John. No sign of change from China. Still seeing weakness across the board in terms of the manufacturing sector. So I would certainly question the authenticity of the numbers. The thing to watch in China always to try to get to some level of truth are the inputs to China. What are the imports of metal, coal, other materials from Australia or around the world? And what are the container counts on export? If you assume that the numbers that the government publishes are inaccurate, the inputs and the outputs will tell you the specifics on a percentage basis, but still no sign of the Chinese manufacturing economy rebounding.
And that means that we're past Christmas. We're into the spring orders now. Christmas has already been delivered. That means that China is sticking with its original business plan of we are the manufacturers and exporters of the world, despite the drop-off in their books. Again, there's been talk for years about friendshoring or reshoring or moving business. To your understanding, is that those anecdotes, are they still flowing or have they stopped? Are people reorganizing themselves? Is China dropping its price? Anything like that?
So you're seeing communication from Western governments more and more vividly and more specifically. If you look at some of the information published by the Biden administration on CHIPS Act in the last several weeks, there are more and more restrictions on what especially tech companies can do with China. And you're seeing more and more signaling from governments around the world, it would be to your benefit to reshore or to source outside of China. Now, that's above and beyond the macro that in the last several years, the cost of labor in China has grown substantially. Is it the least expensive place to do business in the world? No, by far, it's not anymore. It'll be very, very interesting to watch in the next 1 to 2 weeks. This week is a vacation week or holiday week in China called Golden Week. Watch to see the migration of workers back to the coastal factories in the next week. If they come back and come back in force, or if they stay home in the villages, will be a very telling sign.
We move to Europe, where you've traveled recently. There are very large doubts about the future in the United Kingdom, but that's outside the European Union. In the European Union, Germany is openly grumbling. For example, in these hours, we hear that Germany is refusing to send one of its weapons, a very high-end missile, to Ukraine for fear that it'll be used in some fashion to arouse Russia. Germany does not want to alienate Russia. That is very strange, Chris, but that's geopolitics. Does it translate to the business level? We've had various voices throughout Germany for some time saying the cutback in energy means we're no longer a manufacturing superpower. We've got to scramble for energy. And Did you hear similar complaints in other countries, or is Germany an outlier?
Germany is certainly most affected. In Germany in the last 2 weeks, I heard several conversations and watching German media about the Germans with Nord Stream being offline, trying to move bulk gas through another southern route into Germany to have that energy source from Russia, but just under a different name, different footprint. So the Germans are still desperately trying to find that source of energy that reignites their heavy manufacturing economy. But you're seeing across Europe more instability, more hesitation on the business side. As the war lingers on, its impact on the economies of Europe is becoming more and more evident.
Yes, at Italy, I do reporting from northern Italy, the manufacturing center, the engineering center. And suddenly the doubts are back. They had been lifted after the recovery from the pandemic, and Italy was said to be in a healthy situation compared to its neighbors with the new Giorgia Meloni government. And now doubts spreading. The UK, outside the European Union, the politics are everywhere. I can't tell. But right now they're moving away from green in some fashion, no longer mandating all EV by such and such a date, reawakening the North Sea fields. There's even a coal mine in development somewhere in the north. Is the UK shaking off the net zero of Glasgow 2 years ago? Is the UK looking to rejoin manufacturing, or is this all shuffling, redistribution?
John, I think it's the UK is confronting the hard reality that while it's great to symbolize and move towards green initiatives, the reality is you'll still have fossil fuels for the next 20, 30, 50 years as a core part of the economy. They understand that Brits need to be able to heat their homes, need to be able to drive their cars, need to be able to function. And now that hard reality of increased energy costs is making them reactivate fossil fuels across the board, because it's great to signal a green initiative, but a cold winter and lack of jobs for UK voters is a political problem.
We move to the United States. The news here is that we do not have a direction for where the Federal Reserve is going. They're trusting the data. I come to trusting the data. I agree with that. But the reports that I've had from my colleague, Gene Marks, who travels the country talking to associations, small business associations, fasteners, packaging, oil services, is that there's anxiety about the first and second quarter of 24's order books. Nobody's saying it's all dried up, we're going to crash. They are saying it's not healthy. And the root of all of this is we don't know where the interest rates are going, and people are hesitating ordering ahead. The one business association that was positive out of Texas enjoys a great deal of money coming in from government spending, the Inflation Reduction Act. Now, you work at a different scale. Do you see anxiety for the first two quarters of 24? Are people using the recession word again?
John, there's tremendous anxiety with 30-year mortgages at 8%, with two-year treasuries at 5%. The U.S. government is sucking all of the air out of the room and running $2 trillion plus deficits. That will continue to drive interest rates higher. That is starting to debilitate businesses that require debt to be able to survive. Those higher debt costs are just wrecking sector after sector, and it's going to get worse.
And what does this mean for franchises, for the business? We have these anecdotes of them closing, of the various franchisers closing outlets, but they're mostly talking about the disorder in the cities on the Pacific coast. Portland, Seattle, now there's Starbucks closing in San Francisco. That was obvious. Your street traffic is lightened because of the conditions in downtown. So Starbucks is not going to remain open for characters to wander in and be abusive to the workers there. But in any event, are you seeing this evidence across the country? Franchisers are pulling back or becoming cautious about 24?
John, I'm seeing multi-unit franchisers that are starting to, in Detroit, in Atlanta, in Kansas City, close dozens or hundreds of units in regions because the franchisees have been entering bankruptcy, have been unable to sustain the higher cost of debt on leveraged businesses. So you'll start to see more and more in the fast food sector and particular market leaders, more and more disruption within some of those franchisees because they cannot afford the capital costs, which are floating rate and tied to this dramatic increase in interest rates.
So the what we see here is the slowing of the business market in the way that the Federal Reserve said they wanted to achieve in order to reduce the inflation number into 24 and 25. In other words, this is what the Fed said they wanted to do, and you see it happening right now.
The Fed is slowing inflation, no question about it, but at what cost? And that cost is translating into job loss, business closings, and capital models for many businesses that are no longer sustainable.
And government spending, do you see that anywhere, Chris?
I think the government spending continues. The government spending is impacting markets in big ticket items, but that certainly generally doesn't translate into many of the small and mid-sector companies. So the very large, especially defense contractors, are doing very, very well,
right,
but that's not translating to Main Street.
Chris Riegel, CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm. This is the Scholar Report. I'm John Nash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.